Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Mets fans, and a special thank you, as always, to Adam Spiegel for the jingle that opens up the Metsian podcast, which is what you're listening to right now. I am Rich Fraga, one of the three hosts of the Metsian podcast. Tonight, I'll be flying solo host-wise in the beginning. We hope to have Sam Maxwell join us about halfway through, and I have a very special guest that I'll bring on in a moment, but we thank you for taking some time out to listen to the Metsian podcast. And let's face it, you know, it hasn't been a fun time to be a Mets fan in the first half. We'll get into all that. But then again, you know, really, when is it fun to be a Mets fan, right? So we'll get into all that. We'll get into the blueprint for the second half, what we think will happen and what we think we could do or the Mets can do to try to get themselves back in this thing. And in order to do that, I mentioned that, you know, Sam might join us halfway through. But I do have a very special guest, a voice we've heard on this podcast before, and that is Mr. Metstradamus himself. John, if you could tell us a little about yourself and what you're doing these days. I know you're doing a podcast of your own, and I know you do some writing, and you're Metstradamus on Twitter, and welcome, as always, to the Metsian podcast.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be here, and I'm still writing for Metstradamusblog.com, which redirects you to Sports Daily, and I've been writing also for the brand new Kiner's Corner website, where we do blogs and we do videos and we do Zooms weekly, mostly on Mondays. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been a blast for sure. And just to give you an idea of how obsessed I am, you know, there was no baseball today. So I come fresh from the Long Island Ducks game, which basically is the ghosts of Mets past. Ruben Tejada and Chan Cisco and Alejandro Diaz, who walked three times today, and Stephen Tarpley, who pitched for one game for the Mets and didn't fare too well, and he also didn't fare too well today, also giving up seven runs in five innings. So, I can't get enough of the current Mets. I got to go chase the past Mets. So there you go.
How far away is that from where you live, John?
It's a good once I get to the train station, it's a little under an hour train ride out to Central Islip, and then a short cab ride. So it's not the hardest thing to get to. And for those who haven't been there at Duck Stadium, Bethpage Ballpark, it's a great place to watch for an indie league team. It's a very nice stadium, and just don't go on camp day. That's my suggestion to all you guys.
Well, we'll take that suggestion. Very good. And so, all right, you mentioned that, you know, you had a chance to see some former Mets in action. And now let's talk about the 2023 version of the New York Mets. And but before we do that, you know, you kind of answered the first question I wanted to ask you, but I'm going to ask you anyway. So that is the All-Star break. It used to be 3 days. Now it's four. Today I was thinking about a couple of years ago, they had one game on the Thursday night, and I thought that was going to be a thing where it was on MLB Network. You know, obviously everybody was desperate to watch it. Everybody watched it. I don't know why they stopped. I think they, you know, gave those teams a little bit extra bonus for cutting their break a day short. But regardless, so we know you went to the Ducks game. When it's the All-Star break, John, you know, and you've been – watching baseball, treated to nightly baseball for 3.5 months. How do you typically fill the time? I mean, is it a weird feeling? Is it a void? Is it a welcome rest? Or how do you feel about it?
I think it's a combination of all of that. But I will tell you this: I was watching the Home Run Derby, and I swear to you, this is how dumb I am, and this is how programmed I am for baseball every night. When the Home Run Derby ended, my first thought I reached for the remote to put on 306 MLB Network to think, oh, let's see if there's a late game on. It's the All-Star break. It's the Home Run Derby. So when I realized that, I was like, you got to be kidding. Yeah, I could use some real baseball. Because, the Home Run Derby's great and all, but it's a batting practice competition. I want to see a game. You know, I want to see real baseball. That's what made today fun, because there's no baseball on the schedule, but there's a Ducks game at 11 a.m. Hey, let's go check that out. But I guess it depends on the season. If it's a good season, you want to get going and you want to watch. And even like you said, when they pick two teams to have one game on the Thursday, that's cool, because then you could just sit down and flip it on and not worry about changing the channel and this and that. And then you could also watch stress-free if it's not the Mets playing, if it's like the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers. Oh yeah, cool. Let's check this out. It's on national television. So it could go either way with me. But it is such a weird time, because your program, that's the beauty of baseball, is that it's there for you every night until those days that it's not, and that's what we're in right now. Those few days where there's no baseball. So it is very weird.
It is. And, you know, it always seems like an abrupt stop, you know, because you're into the flow of it. And you probably do that based on what you just said. I'll assume you do what I do, which is if there's an afternoon, I typically work from home. If there's an afternoon game on, I flick that on because I have, you know, the extra innings package. And then the Mets at night. And then if there's a late game, you know, as you're getting ready for bed and stuff, you know, you get into that routine. And it's just like this abrupt stop. And you're kind of looking around like, oh, well, what now? You know, and I know the home run hitting thing is, to me, that's come and gone. It's run its course, but some people really get into it. The All-Star game itself, I do want to ask you a question about that. When we were kids, I mean, we got so into that because you had, you know, people who were Yankee fans, people were Mets fans, and the National League versus the American League, and we used to all watch it together and rag on each other. You know, obviously doesn't have that anymore. But the game could be fun. I'm not a big fan of having the players mic'd up. I think that just reduces the significance of it myself. But anyway, and then the Wednesday and Thursday, it's like, wow, you know, we're really devoid of baseball. Can't wait for it to come back. What do you think of the uniform controversy? Do you prefer to see these guys in their own uniforms? Taking out of the equation the specific uniforms you saw on Tuesday night, would you rather see a common uniform for the National American League or guys wearing their own like they did for many, many, many years?
The latter. I want to see. I think that was a big draw for us when we were kids, to see the All-Star game with your guys in your jerseys. I thought it was the coolest thing to see Lee Mazzilli in the All-Star game. When the Mets were bad, okay, we still get an All-Star, so there's still a reason to watch. I think that was the draw of it. I do think they should go back to switching it where those All-Star uniforms are worn on Monday for the Home Run Derby, and then the players wear their own uniforms for Tuesday. You know, they say that you sell more jerseys if you wear them for the game than the Home Run Derby. I don't know about that. I still have a few of those jerseys from those batting practice jerseys from All-Star games past, so I don't think it's going to really affect the sales of those jerseys. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think they should wear the All-Star their own jerseys for the All-Star game. I think there was a charm to it. I think fans of teams and not just players really get a kick out of that. But then again, and it's another conversation entirely, I think All-Star games and all sports have run their course, and I think we're desperate for a new format where you see a matchup at the end of a game like Shohei pitching to Mike Trout in the World Baseball Classic instead of Craig Kimbrell facing Jose Ramirez, which was good enough, but it doesn't usually even get that good for a matchup. Usually you're down to the second and third string All-Stars at that point. But to go back to your original question, yes. Wear your own jerseys for the game. Wear the newfangled uniforms on Monday.
You know, and Tim Healy tweeted something that I thought was interesting. He said, you know what, I know I'm going to be unpopular with this opinion, but I think that it was better when the game determined home field advantage in the World Series. What do you think of that?
I didn't like it because it was too much of a mix of philosophies. Yeah, let's make this game mean something, but then more often than not, those games weren't decided in the late innings by the best players. You weren't going to get to make that format work, where the winner of the game decided the All-Star, the home field in the World Series. You needed to have those games managed like real games. You needed to see Clayton Kershaw and Jacob deGrom go 6-7 innings against Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander when they were in the American League. They needed to be managed like real games. But that was never going to happen in an All-Star game. So it was too much of a – it was like – I hate to steal this from Rick Peterson, but it is like having ketchup with your ice cream. It's two different philosophies meshed into one. That's why it didn't work. So I like that it's an exhibition and that we treat it like an exhibition. That's at least consistent. If Tim Healy is right, if those games were ever going to be managed with urgency, which they never would have been.
I think that's right. I think because I saw Terry Collins on in Baseball Night New York earlier this week, and he was saying that when he managed in 2016, that he goes, well, you know, back then it was different because we were managing for home field advantage. So what that – while he didn't go into details, what that told me was it really did mean something. It meant something to the manager. You know, he can't speak for the players, but the intensity level – was clear. I mean, you would think it would be different, but you have no way of knowing exactly how these guys perceive it. But hearing from a manager's perspective that, hell yeah, you know, I managed it differently then because home field was on the line. I don't think you'd be see these guys having chit-chats with the booth in the middle of the game if there was something on the line. And, I mean, I understand the idea of making the game more accessible to fans and getting it within the minds of the players, but there's something about talking to a player during a game that to me just makes it seem like Sunday morning softball. It's like, because, you know, you saw Juan Soto, you know, ball was hit to him while he was talking to them, and I don't know. Anyway, maybe that's just an old-fashioned statement. Yeah. How do you feel about the players being like that?
I think you can get some really good moments from those players being mic'd up, but it's like whenever something works, they lay it on too thick, and they go for more and more and more of it instead of sprinkling it in and making it a special thing. Like, for example, my problem with the mic'd up was, yes, Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman were entertaining, but it ruined what was a really cool organic moment in the game where Shohei Ohtani was up and the crowd started chanting, "Come to Seattle." That was really cool, but I felt it was with Freeman and Betts talking over it, you never really got the full effect of that. And, yeah, they asked Freddie Freeman, hey, would you like Shohei to come to your team? And he had the line about, no, that's tampering. And, yeah, that was pretty cool. But wouldn't you have loved to have taken in that moment of the fan of Shohei Ohtani, the biggest star in the game, batting in the first inning, but they've already gone to the interviews in the first inning, and they totally ruined that moment. Again, it was like another food reference, but it's like when you overdo it on the salt on your food. Okay, yeah, salt is good, but when you pour the whole bottle on your food, it doesn't work. I think that's what happened. I think that's what happened here with that moment.
I think that's a good point. I think I've always said if you want to mic up players, and I'm talking about Sunday Night Baseball where they do it, and I think that's even worse because that game counts in the standings, or something like this. To me, talk to somebody who's out of the game. Talk to it like on Sunday Night Baseball. Talk to a pitcher, a starting pitcher who's not pitching that night, and just say, all right, what are you doing right now to prepare for your next start? What's the vibe like in the dugout? What are you seeing? You know, I'm all for getting in the player's head and knowing what goes on in their brains during these games. I just don't understand how these guys can be fully focused and having an interview at the same time. I mean, maybe it's me. I don't know. But
I think you're absolutely right.
In the All-Star game, it doesn't count. You know, so, okay, maybe you could experiment. But I also agree with what you said in the sense that, you know, they go to the well a little too often on that. Because, right, I like it.